Welcome to the first ever episode of the Do-Over, the Sneaky Zebra podcast.
Yeah!
Where basically we watched films that we thought were going to be awesome, and then we were less than awesome about them, and then we try and come up with how we'd fix them.
It fixes a bold term.
Fix it. How we would make
how
we would approach those franchises to, you know, what our take on them would be.
I think obviously a good one to start off right now, because we only saw it the other day, The Mummy.
Yes, The Mummy, which has, you know, a lot of people trying to pitch in on fixing that one there. So this is the reboot of a reboot, because obviously, like, what, the first one's 1930s, and then there's the Brendan Fraser kind of trilogy of films, and then there's this dark universe.
They want to set up, but they're failing to set up anything.
Yeah, this is like the second attempt. They ditched because they're not doing. They did one called Dracula Untold.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's been like ditched. This is like the launch of this whole thing.
It's got is it Charles Dance in that one at the end? And he says something along the lines of like, "This is where it all begins." And then that's all they did to set it up, and then they've just gone, "Nah, actually."
That didn't make a huge amount of money for us, so we're gonna ditch that one there. So this version of The Mummy, so obviously Tom Cruise is being Ethan Hunt mummies.
Pretty much.
I guess since we're gonna try and like fix this thing, let's go through the plot of this thing to begin with. So we set up the Crusades first, right?
Pretty much. Which it's what, like 15 minutes before the even title sequence shows?
So we start off with Knights of the Crusade, and they got like a little gem.
Yeah.
And then we go to
modern day,
which is the best scene in the whole I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Apart from the Crusades thing, I like the opening of this film a certain amount. Like, Nick, played by, not you, played by Tom Cruise, the only reason I remember this name is because the name Nick gets yelled a lot.
And Jake Johnson as Chris.
Chris, yeah. Which is real confusing, because if you watch New Girl like me, anytime anyone says Nick, I'm real confused as to who they're talking about in this franchise. But yeah, so they're running about doing their little soldier thing, and then blow up a hole, and then they find a mummy tomb. And then we find the mummy.
Yep.
And then we fly back on a plane, and then we see the plane crash scene that we saw in every single trailer.
Yeah, over and over and over. Which, again, is a typical problem of, like, I know Hollywood trailers have to sell the thing, but, like, I was so bored during that sequence because I'm like, I've seen this.
It's also, like, I feel like the trailer editor got the shortest version of that scene possible, and it was still effective.
Yeah.
That I didn't need to see the longer version
the
of that.
73 barrel rolls.
I'm like, I don't need to see this, because, I mean, Tom Cruise always has that impressive thing of, like, he does his own stunts and stuff, and he'll always try and do something epic and cool. Like, every Mission Impossible film is like, I'm going to hold onto the side of a plane, or I'm going to, you know, go down the side of this skyscraper and stuff. And it was like, this one here is like, we're going to do this zero-G thing. We're going to do it 40 times. Like, I didn't need that to be as big a set piece as it was.
And also, like, when you're watching it, you don't ever sit there and go, wow, I'm really impressed that it's real life.
And can I just say, like, obviously, like, I like Jurassic World and I like New Girl and stuff. I was really annoyed at how quickly Jake Johnson's role is kind of just truncated down, because they're such a great duo. But yeah, we'll come back to that, because I think we both had the same thoughts on that one.
Just to recap, obviously, with the when they got the mummy out of the tomb, Chris, Jake Johnson's character, he gets cursed.
Oh, he gets bitten by a spider.
It turns into a zombie dead.
I don't quite clear what happens to him.
Like, he acts like a zombie, but it was just a spider bite.
It doesn't happen to
bite.
Anybody else in the film. Like, that power is never used on another human being.
No.
At any point.
And the two of them got bugs crawling all over, and they didn't get bit.
No, did the person, there was a person hacking a computer with a spider, that wasn't like bitten and...
Well, that was mind-controlled, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that must have been the same thing as his then. So there must be like bugs that now are magically imbued with the power to...
Yeah.
Some bull like that, I really know.
But that sums up most of his thoughts. Some bullshit.
It just happened. It just does. Mummies.
The best way to describe this film, and if this is going to happen with this recap, is it feels like it's a kid come back from summer camp, and is it? And then this happened, and then we did this, and this happened, and you sit there and go, could you breathe a little bit and maybe put some coherence between them to all those sentences?
But why not?
So they're flying back to suddenly England, which is obviously you then later find out is due to the Crusades. But at the time, they're just like, oh, we're flying back.
Just conveniently, like, they're... No, it was... Were they... I take it they were flying the sarcophagus back to see Russell Crowe.
Were they? Because I know, because they...
Because didn't he want the sarcophagus? Because he gave him the map from, like, the thing was, like, Henry.
Oh, good question. So, I mean, I presume because they were American military...
Yeah, yeah. Again, see, this is
like
massive...
She works for him,
but they don't...
So I presumed that she was just along the ride, and obviously somehow it was gonna, you know, she was gonna relay information back. I presumed they were still going to go to America.
Now a good point, because I assumed they were going to England, because then obviously you established the secret monster club.
Because they'd have to fly over England, going from wherever they were, the Middle East, to America. They'd probably have to.
Yeah. Oh, it should be pointed out that this is an Egyptian mummy that's not from Egypt.
Oh, it's either. in a neighbouring
country.
Which
she is from Egypt, but they buried her in a neighbouring country.
Which is why the big find is so weird.
Like, it's so controversial and they have to get it. It's just some weird, like, stuff. But that's just like a kind of footnote thing that really didn't need to exist at all. It could have just been from Egypt.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then the plane gets attacked by birds, and then they crash.
Naturally. So that's another creature that she magically has control over.
Yeah, and then Tom Cruise wakes up in a body bag.
They crash in, like... They say Aylesford, which is like just south of Oxford, I think. So like very like middle England, like in the middle of nowhere.
But they drive from London in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, it's the typical American like filmmaker one. It's like Fast and Furious where they race through London and see like all London's major road marks in the same street.
I love how it's a terrible thing, but if you're from London and you watch any of those films, I feel like the Fast and Furious is the best one where you can see someone travel from West London to East London, back to West London, back to East London
in
without going through
lights.
Central London at all. It's impressive. So
he wakes up dead in the mortuary. So this is, I know, I want to come back to this as well. This is one thing that really bugged me. He wakes up in the mortuary. She's brought in to try and identify the body. He's in perfect health.
No. The thing is, everybody in there, I assumed, was from that plane crash.
Yeah.
And everybody is perfectly intact.
Yes.
And they look clean as a whistle underneath those sheets. Like, none of you got mangled
not even
or
mud,
beaten or
blood.
Like, I'm like, you were inside that plane fuselage when it crashed, right? Like, there should be, like, bits of metal all through you. But no, obviously, he is cursed.
Yep.
No. You know, so, like, he's fine. But obviously, like, he gets cursed and he's perfectly fine. Jake Johnson gets cursed. Jake Johnson becomes a weird CG'd up.
Zombie.
I have a random
thing.
Eye and, like... Kind of just felt like they did a lot of that in post, where they were just like, oh, I don't think it's clear that he's possessed. Let's make him look weird as shit.
But they're trying to, like, the line is like, we need you to identify the body. It's like, it looks exactly like the person.
It looks like there's no way for you to be confused by
like,
this.
Like, his hair's not even out of place.
I mean, I'm sure you found him with a wallet. It's like, oh, he was crashed in the middle of this plane, and he looks like this guy who got on the plane of the five people that were... It's not like a passenger jet with, like, 300 people or something. There was five people on this plane.
Yeah.
Like, is it that hard to identify them? They have military records.
I mean, that's the other thing that confused me, and I want to come back to that as well, is that this whole thing with them doing the plane... was a military exercise, but yet as soon as they crash, the military's not involved at all.
That's true, it's just like local police.
Anywhere
also,
in the rest of the film.
I have to say this, if anybody ever watches this film again, like if you get the chance to watch this irritated the shit out of me while watching the film, and it's such a terrible thing that this is how bad a film is when I focus on this, No one has the same type of flashlight. There are like 27 different types of flashlight in this film. Everybody gets their own design of flashlight. Even the police, the two police guys, have different types of flashlights. Like, you would be issued a flashlight. Whenever they go into the cave, Tom Cruise has one with like three light bulbs. And like, Jake Johnson has another type. There's like a different
one.
Like, they all have different... I don't know. This is when your film is bad. When I'm focusing on the types of flashlights that you are carrying, they are the show stealers of the whole film.
It's like in the it's like in Star Wars. Like, you know, each lightsaber is individual. To it, they each had to go and get a kyber crystal.
It's because it's the dark universe. They've all got to be prepared with their own torches. It's dark, right?
Yeah, they're all powered by kybers.
That's it. Duracell, sponsor of the dark universe.
So obviously we find out it's because he's cursed, but he wakes up perfectly. The first fucking thing they do, apologies for language on this, but we should probably
we can either bleep it out, or I feel like it depends on how these
we'll
go, because there's a certain amount of these films where I'm going to lose my shit.
You're going to get more and more Irish as they go along. The first thing he does after being discovered that he's immortal, he can't die, and for some reason the police don't care and the military don't care, he goes to the local pub.
Which seems to be that they went to a pub near the crash site.
Yes.
But they don't say anything about going to the crash site at that point.
No. Nope.
Right?
No. Nope.
And then Jake Johnson shows up as a hallucination, I want to say.
Again, I don't know.
This is where it's confusing, because at the end of the movie, obviously, if you watch this, I assume you've watched it or you don't really want to watch it. But yeah. Spoiler alert, at the end of the film, Jake Johnson gets brought back to life.
Yeah, we're going all off linear on this description.
But we don't really know how, like, his body wasn't really found. It was, like, right. Tom Cruise keeps seeing, I assume he has to be a hallucination because he just keeps appearing randomly and disappearing.
Well, he gets shot 3 times and then obviously he's technically still in the plane when it crashes. You never see anything more of that.
But like, he does that mirror teleporty shit. As a thing, like, yes. Where he's in the mirror and he walks outside of the room, and then when he's on the bus or whatever, or in the street.
So, well, that bit I presume, but actually saying that, I actually kind of presumed he was real life at the end. That wasn't just Cruise imagining him.
No, the one at the end, I'm definitely sure is real.
So, how does he come back to life?
I mean, again, we don't really establish anybody's power sets in this film. It makes no sense.
Oh, well, Tom does get the power over life and death, so I suppose in between.
But do you need? He needed the body to be in front of him, of her, to go wake up or whatever.
Yeah.
To bring. I mean, again, we're skipping ahead. Like, there's so much terrible film to get through before we get to that part.
Yeah.
I apologize if anybody listening to this worked on it. I'm sure it was a blast to make a film with Tom Cruise. I would love to work on, like, anything like this, you know. It just, I feel like there's such a better film in there.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We like the film, as in, it was entertaining to watch.
I feel like there was aspects of this film that were really great and just not, like, the wrong bits were focused on. But yeah, so anyway, he goes to a pub and starts drinking copious amounts of alcohol.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't, like, all I can think is, was there like a line like of thing
four,
where
four
it's like,
shots and some ale
no matter what he has, like, his thirst is not quenched or some crap like that? Because he just seems to be getting shit-faced for no reason. Like, he's just there with just a ton of shots, just drinking shots. Like,
and it's not affecting him. No. Like, he's drinking hard vodka.
I don't quite,
just dying.
I don't get that scene, like, one bit. And then they go to the church.
Yes, which is her. She's kind of beckoning him.
Yes, he's kind of been lured to the church because somehow she crashed the church over the place where the dagger is.
Yeah, now the dagger is something that she needs to complete the ritual. We need to go back to this doesn't get explained until halfway through.
So that was explained in a flashback
in the middle
while they were in the temple, right? While they were in her burial thing, right?
Yeah.
Because she tells the story of who she is. So this film is confusing as hell. Like, this should have been right at the beginning of the film, much like the 1999 one. Anyway, so we set up her little backstory about that she made a deal with Set.
Yep.
Because she was supposed to be queen, and then her father's going to have a son. Yep. Her father had a son, and then she got jealous, and so she made a deal with Set, and then he gave her a dagger so that he could be released into human form.
Yeah. Yeah, so we need to explain.
I live under an airport, so, like, just occasionally there will be planes coming overhead just to really spice up things.
But if you support our Patreon, we could soundproof Gary's whole room.
Yeah, we could go to somewhere to record a podcast that isn't just my room where planes fly overhead. That would be spectacular now, wouldn't
Professional
it?
Professional level.
They have a little flashback thing. They set up that.
So the dagger's important to her complete, because she never finishes her ritual.
Yeah, so she's supposed to stab her chosen, or whatever the term is that she uses. I think chosen is probably, we'll go with the chosen thing, which becomes Tom Cruise somehow. But yeah, she gets interrupted in between, and you see them take the dagger, and the dagger gets broken into 2 pieces.
Yeah.
So there's a gem and a dagger.
The stabby bit and the gold.
And the glowy red
bit.
Glowy thing, which we saw buried with the knight at the beginning of the film.
Yes. So she doesn't know this yet. She thinks the dagger, for some reason, she has knowledge of where the dagger is.
She can sense where the dagger is, but not the crystal. But it seems to me that the crystal is the important part of the whole thing, because the dagger just seems like because I would never use the dagger. Like, the dagger doesn't stop thing, just the thing stops glowing.
Yeah.
So it's like, the dagger just seems to be a dagger. Yeah. Like, I feel like you could maybe just tape that thing on with some scotch tape to a kitchen knife, and it probably still has the same effect.
Wrap it around. glowing through the
So he lures, she lures him there. He winds up in a church. She destroys the thing, pulls a dagger out, and then goes to kill him, and then literally stops just as she's about to stab him, which is kind of a cool scene.
Yes.
Like, they, the mummies that she's made. Yeah, she turns people into mummies by sucking the life force out of them for some reason.
It helps her to regenerate at the same time.
But there's never, like, a cap on how many people she sucks the life out of. Like, she just
And there's no consistent, like, the first one, the first one takes her from, bit like, being dead in a pile of bones, and then the second one just gives her, like, a little bit of muscle mass, and then the third one turns her into, like, a full human.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like by the time she meets Tom Cruise, she has to look hot.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
I will give credit where credit's due. Sophia, but I can never pronounce her surname.
Butella?
She is awesome. Like, I love her. Obviously, like, she hasn't been in that much yet, but obviously she's in Kingsman and Star Trek Beyond. And I love her in both of those. And she is equally as cool a presence in this. And I just wish there was so much more for her to do.
Yeah, I mean, she does...
Because she was awesome as Jayla, yeah.
I mean, she's a strong female role who was kick-ass and badass. And
yeah, and she's... Because she used to be a dancer, is obviously, like, adds a lot of physicality to, like, those kinds of roles.
Yeah.
And, like, she's really cool. So, yeah, like, that scene's pretty cool. And then they do their... they try to run away, jump in an ambulance, and then they put in a really cool plot device.
Yes.
That they never use again.
No.
Which is that they're trying to drive away, and then he realizes he's driven the whole way back to the church because he is continuously drawn to her.
Yeah, so because he's cursed for her, they jump in a London ambulance, and they're trying to drive through the woods quite erratically. Like, this ambulance is bombing it down these tiny roads.
They're having a back and forth about, like, what just happened or whatever. Yeah. And then she is like, some exposition of, oh, the dagger was in there because Knights of the Crusade would hide things in reliquaries. Or again, like, this is a whole plot point that just didn't need to exist, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
This is like the longest recap. This is more recap than this film deserves. I mean, we're basically telling you the entire film. You could have just watched the film by the time we do this. We're going to shave about 2 hours off that. So they drive back in a circle, and then they have a fight with her.
Yep.
So the ambulance gets flipped or whatever.
Yep.
And then Russell Crowe's homeboys show up.
Yeah.
And catch her.
Yep.
And then they bring him
back
to their secret, the Progeum or Prodeum, whatever the hell it's called.
Which felt like it was, like, massively underground. Because, like, they're showing that a lot of, like, cars going in, then tunnels, then tunnels, then tunnels. And then when they escape it later on, they just walk out of the British Museum.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those weird things, like, oh, it's under the British Museum, but it's not quite under the British Museum because I can see skylights and windows and stuff. So don't quite know where, like...
But again, we'll come back to that.
That should be
the title of this podcast. We'll come back to that.
So then we get to another monster, which is we get to meet Jekyll and Hyde.
I really want to talk about Jekyll. That bit, yeah.
And then, obviously we meet Jekyll, and he does his little injection thing. Yep. And obviously, if you know who Jekyll and Hyde are, you know what this means. And then they go through their little other references where there's, like, a Dracula, a vampire skull...
Yep.
In a thing for the Dracula reference. For the Creature from the Black Lagoon type thing.
Which is a nice little nod of setting up, you know, without throwing it into your face.
They've apparently killed these creatures.
They're already dead.
For some reason.
Which is weird. Again, they show Dracula, or Dracula-like thing, but they canned saying that Dracula was part of this.
So now they're going to have to make a new Dracula franchise film to fit in. I mean, just...
But
1930s monsters in 2017 just seems like such a weird plot device to do. But yeah, so they're at this place. So they've got her tied up at this point, right?
And they're trying to figure out how to stop her. And they've worked out that the only way to actually stop her is to kill Tom Cruise's character. It's pretty much what they say. They say that she's chosen him. She's given him the curse, and the only way is either him fulfill that curse, or they kill him.
And they were going to bury her again with the mercury.
Yes.
That was it. Like, the mercury was a big plot point made of mercury.
Yeah.
Left, right, center in this film.
Yes.
That they're going to put her in a tank of mercury to keep evil at bay. Because apparently that's what... you want to keep evil spirits at bay? Buy a thermometer.
Yeah.
That's it
right there.
Job done. Evil spirits from Egypt will not mess with you then.
They quite harshly treat her because they shove it in her veins at certain points, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they kind of
got... Well, they at least allude to it.
And then she tries to, like, you know, get them on her side, like trying to, you know, humanize the thing, because it's like it was a different time type thing and all this kind
of
stuff.
So while she's held captive in this room, they have her chained down in the middle of the center of the room. All of a sudden, all the security guards, I mean, like when they harpooned her, there was 40, 50 people there, all with guns trained on her. Now that she's inside the building, near all the technology that she needs to escape, they just let her go. Oh, she's chained up. She's fine now. She hasn't got mind control powers.
Yeah, like they. It's kind of weird because they because she takes control of, and again, a power that's not used apart from the spider that bit.
Yeah,
Jay Johnson, a little tiny spider.
Yeah,
that goes crawls through, and then we follow the spider, and it bites one of the technicians, and the technician like. Turns off the pumps or some crap like that, reverse them alone.
And whilst this is all going, you've got basically Russell Crowe being Dr. Exposition.
Yeah, he's
explaining
of...
everything to Nick about this universe and how gods and monsters exist. And, you know, that's and the lines we get from the trailer.
Yeah, and then you kind of find out what their plan is for him a little bit. And he takes the Dr. Jekyll's injector thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely come back to serum. We'll definitely come back to that because I think there's a few things on that you know, Dr. Jekyll is a and Hyde could have been easily redone.
Yeah,
because I want to talk about that a bit exclusively as well.
Yeah, but in the plot of this thing, they do that and he turns into
Hyde.
So that's whilst she is escaping. From her like mercury injector thing. At the same time, Tom Cruise's character is having a fight with Russell Crowe, who's now turned into...
He's now Hyde at this point,
Who sounds like a Jason Statham wannabe. And then, like, they're having a cool fight. And then there is the one thing that I actually like as a nod in this, which is that she's the Book of Ra or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
From the 1999 Mummy film to knock out.
Yep.
The security guy who's with her in the library.
A great nod.
I'm like, here's a good nod. Also, just make those films canon. Because that book still exists in the canon of those films. Because only the Book of the Dead gets destroyed in the Scorpion King's temple.
Yeah.
I'll leave.
But I mean, that's the thing. There's nothing saying that they can't, you know, say this is a different mummy. There can be more than one mummy.
So then
he starts the big chase sequence through London. Which is obviously most of the trailer.
I feel like this bit we can wrap up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Basically, they chase through London. They do the sandstorm, which is glass.
Which is a good touch.
And then the idea is that she needs to find the gem that goes in the dagger. That's obviously in the Knights Crusade thing that we set up, which these guys, Russell Crowe's homeboys, they found that.
Yep.
At the beginning of the film and are excavating it.
Have brought everything in one place for her.
Yep. So then they go to try and find... They go to get that. There's an underwater swimmy scene that makes no sense.
No.
And then the Blondie McBlonderson, whose character's name I can't remember, because she was super forgettable.
Jenny.
Jesus Christ. Jenny. It's such a random name. Is Nick, Chris, and Jenny. This sounds like a math question. If Chris has 5 bananas and Jenny has 4, how many does Nick need to... So Jenny dies.
Yep.
And Nick comes up, and basically at this point, Amunet is the mummy in this one here.
Yeah.
She has used the dead knights to make them mummies.
Yep.
Now, so that she has an army of mummies. And as soon as Nick shows up, she disintegrates her army of mummies.
These really
that would
useful.
Be useful to pin him down and stab him with the dagger. Because now she has the gem and she has the dagger. They have a little fight, which is kind of cool because he runs at her and there's one awesome bit I love and she just like power bitch slaps him to the ground.
It's proper violent.
Just
and
like
quick.
Just it's so good because you expect Tom Cruise to pull off some awesome like Ethan Hunt move and it's just like whoom, no.
Done.
Like hand to the face, him to the floor. So they fight a few little bit and then like he decides to stab himself because she says a speech of, oh, you have power over life and death. And obviously, Blondie McBlonderson, Jenny. I'm just being a dick. dead.
The thing is this whole film is him cursed, not believing in the curse, her chasing after him saying, I've just got to complete the ritual. And he gets to the final fight and he goes, oh, yeah, actually, all right. But he, I mean, the only difference is he does it on his terms. so he has complete power.
But we again, it's not been established that that is something that can happen in any way, shape, or form. So you kind of just go, you could have stabbed yourself, and Set could have just taken over you completely.
Yeah,
like that's
what we're told was going
to
happen.
Like you could bring about the end of days just to save the one blonde chick who you slept with once and stole a map from. That just again, Jenny is her name. I feel bad. I keep
The thing is, it's not just because
you've even told me the name, but she's so forgettable now that I forget the name you've just told me.
She is quite. What's the thing called, the Bechdel test or something like that? She would fail. She is the character that only exists to be the romantic option of the lead male character. She says next to nothing. She says about four lines of exposition. The rest of the time, she screams Nick's name. Like, I'm talking an Amy Pond level of shouting doctor every 3 seconds. It's not great. Like, so it's not necessarily that, you know, we're just being mean on her. Like, you know, the actress did a fine job.
She would do amazing things and be in awesome stuff.
Yeah.
This part, just not an awesome part to play.
Nah.
But anyway, he stabs himself, becomes Set.
I mean, that's the thing.
Kisses mummy chick to death.
He seems to be control of himself. So is he? Because the way that we're pitched all the way through is that Set will take control of this person.
Set will be human. Yeah,
but I mean, it just seems Tom Cruise with powers now.
We kind of get a couple of glimpses where he gets the powers or whatever. He kills Amunet, or doesn't kill her. He turns her back into a mummy, mummy. And then he goes over and he's huddled over her body, and then she's lying in the desert for some reason. And like apparently, whenever you die now, you go to the deserts of Egypt, because just everyone goes there apparently. He just yells at her. That's the one point where they do the Set thing where he does that weird face morph stuff, and then like she comes back to life, and then she sees him in the corner of the room, and he like hides his face and says, "Oh, I can't see you," or whatever, "they'll come for me," or whatever, "you'll be fine." And then he runs off, and then the next thing we see of him is he's in the desert riding on horseback again with Jake Johnson, who looks both of them looking perfectly fine.
Yeah, he hasn't got the weird eyes.
Nothing. I feel like there's something in a contract there, like nothing can obscure Tom Cruise's face. And then they just ride off into the sunset, the two of them.
Very romantically.
That's the end of the film. Like, there's no post-credits thing or anything like that. Oh, and then they put her back in the sarcophagus and they put her into a
tub of
the tub of mercury. So that is the end of The Mummy. Now, like, I feel like we've talked about this for, like, 25 minutes.
I was going to say this is the really long... We stopped along the way.
I mean, to be honest, this is the first episode, so I'm sure, like, we will get better at, like, cutting this down in terms of like, because obviously you've watched the film already. Kind of feel like we didn't need to tell you what happened in this film because you watched it. If you somehow didn't,
give us all the feedback on this. Like, you guys leave comments.
Like, we could have missed out on like important stuff while we watched the film.
Don't worry, there is more of the show to come. Just give me 20 seconds just to tell you guys about some awesome stuff, and then we will get right back to hearing our crazy thoughts on how to fix the film. So first up, I want to talk about Gamebox. Now, Gamebox is a subscription service. If you like board games, I love board games. You may have seen us playing them online on live streams and such. Gamebox is a subscription box for board games. You can customize what you get based on what games you play regularly, what games you already have. They are a great, great service. Go check out Gamebox.com for more information, but I highly recommend them. They're a real new company and a really, really cool one, doing something a bit different. And if your flavor of geek is slightly different than just board games, there is, of course, Loot Crate. You've probably heard of Loot Crate before, but I'm going to plug them again. They are great. I am surrounded by things from Loot Crates right now at my desk. There was this really cool Jessica Jones, like, animated statue that came in one. Just so many cool, cool things. So if you want to check out Loot Crate, go to lootcrate.com/sneaky, and you can use the discount code Zebra to save a few bucks on your order. Give it a try. See if it's something you might be interested in. Now that we have said all of that, it is time to get back to us doing over this film.
So Okay, so it's not necessarily what we would do to fix it. I'm not saying fix, but here's what we would do differently.
Here's our each take. Yeah. And what we would do yep. with that franchise. Because it's not our place to say we would fix the thing, because it's like we aren't those guys. Not our job. Fixing yeah. is kind of a bold term, because that's to say that we think it's, you know, broken, whereas obviously for the filmmakers, they made the film they wanted to make.
Yeah.
It's just what our take on this, yeah. our pitch of what we would do
yeah.
on this, our do-over of what our
if we had to pitch to direct this is how we do it.
Yeah, but basically, I think the idea of doing this is obviously kind of trying to take as many of the elements that already exist
yes.
in what we've already got, and you're trying to figure a way to make that work.
Yep.
In a way, so you have the same cast,
yeah,
pretty much. I think, you know, same you could probably occasionally points. You'll maybe recast some people in various things, maybe. But I feel like with this, I could do it with the same cast.
Yeah,
I feel like Amanette, she was really greatly cast.
Sophie, yeah, I mean, she's great. She's
Jake amazing. Johnson was really fun. Jenny, I feel like
anybody,
just a better character, just that's more of a character. Maybe she would have been more
yeah
recognized with me. So. I don't know, how do you want to break this down? Do you want to do a pitch? Do you want to hop in on?
Let's go backwards and forwards. I think so. Okay. So here's one of the things I would change about Jenny. So when we finally meet Russell Crowe, he is as Jekyll and Hyde. He is, as far as we understand, the head of this organization. I mean, he might be someone up higher up. We never know. But in points of this film, we feel like he's the boss guy. And when we meet Jenny for the first time, she basically catches up with Tom Cruise and Jake Johnson's character after they've just blown up a small town and find the mummy thing. She basically goes up, slaps him, and talks about stealing a map and berates him a lot. And then obviously they suddenly discover, oh, actually there's this giant tomb thing underneath them. Now, one of the things I thought was really, really cool that I think they could have done with her to give her a bit more development is that the way it is played in the film is that Tom Cruise's character pretty much finds a map that she has, takes it, finds the city, and it's really only through a series of unfortunate events and an airstrike that they actually find the mummy tomb.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of that she was actually manipulating him. So rather than she was on her own mission, working for Russell Crowe within the confines of the military, and was trying to find this place herself, I like the idea that she effectively left the map out. I'm doing quote marks. Obviously, this podcast would have it. I'm doing visual stuff. I like the idea that she left it out for him to go find, because for whatever reason, she knows that he's a bit of a... has a little bit of luck on his side and a little bit of a...
Well, this is kind of like comes to mind, like, because the start of this film is kind of like... Where I go from the start point of this thing is I'd lose the Crusade stuff. 100%. All the Crusader stuff is just pointless
yep.
drivel to like my mind of just like to get us in London for a
yeah.
finale. You don't need any of that stuff there. I would ditch that. I feel like what you would do is open it up with the setup about Amanette.
Mm-hmm.
Get Russell Crowe to voice it if need be.
Yep.
You know, have them find a tablet or something with that gem
yep.
on it or something, and have him, you know, start have a hand like risping over at something, reading out the thing. I know it's a terrible thing to have voiceover at the beginning of a movie, but I feel like something like this, where you're kind of setting up a time period where you don't want people to speak English too much,
yeah,
and you don't want to bombard them with like weird mystical forces and stuff, but you have basically what's in the film play out as mm-hmm. what you see is he tells the story of the girl who would be queen,
yes,
like treated like a god, and then her father somehow miraculously has a son,
yes,
and then she's cast out, so she makes a deal with Set or yep. whoever and tries to kill and da 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 da,
yeah,
and then the you know, the dagger and the stone were separated, you know, until now kind of type
yes.
thing, whatever,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we cut to Nick and Chris,
yep,
doing the same exact, I would keep their opening scene pretty much exactly the same. I loved their back and forth. The main change I would make from them is take them from being army guys and just make mercs. Them mercs
yep.
who are just relentless treasure hunters
yep.
who do their thing. Because it feels like they kind of like went, oh, they're soldiers, but they also steal treasure.
On the side.
And it's like, but that's just be one or the other. Yep. You can't be the moral high ground of this thing. And I just like, just have them be arrested by the military or whatever once they steal it.
That's what I said about the military earlier on, is like they have obviously the big plane with that great scene with the plane and stuff like that. But as soon as they crash, no military ever again.
Yeah.
No, none at all. Like there is... But half of London is blowing up, and we don't see anything.
I mean, it's the airdrop is kind of the like the call in the drone strike or whatever to attack, to blow a hole. It's kind of a fun thing to reveal the thing. I'm like, could you not have just had them running along a rooftop and being out of ammo and then just had Jake Johnson just find something to blow up a thing? It's like, you know, that one grenade is not going to scare them off. It's like, you don't know that, you know, that one, and just like kind of throw the thing and then just, you know, oh, it worked or whatever. And then the whole ground sink in.
Lands in an ammo cache or something.
Find the thing anyway. I feel like what they should have done is found the thing, gone down into the tomb. You have her show up maybe with the military thing and they... you know, have their argument and they'd be like, well, you two aren't supposed to be here because you're, you know, treasure hunters are one and we're going to arrest you. And he's like, well, you know, if they're here, we may as well just send them down with her instead.
They're
like, we're not going down the thing. So they volunteer to go down into the tomb. And then I feel like what you need to do is set it up so that my play, I think I said this after we watched the film, was I would have Jake Johnson be the chosen instead of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But what you do is you somehow have a situation where however they get that sarcophagus up, the two of them shoot the weights or something.
Yes.
So that both of them somehow, or one of them, winds up being the chosen. Because I just feel like there's the buddy cop system in this is way more enjoyable than him teamed up with Jenny.
Yes.
I was like, if it was him, like Tom Cruise, trying to save his best buddy the entire movie as this mummy is trying to
hunt him down
to turn him into, you know, demigod or whatever, is kind of a, you know, fun dynamic of a thing. And then, like you say, I like the idea of her being a manipulative part of the thing because I like the underbelly of Russell Crowe's operation. But I'd love it if she was like a double agent on top of that.
Yeah.
Where you kind of had the thread of like, she's after this thing, but because for some reason, she's part of a cult, or like an alternative thing that she wants to resurrect.
Great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Any of that kind of, like she's part of something that wants to resurrect Set. So basically like she's infiltrated her way into Russell Crowe's little world. And you kind of like, you have her be the reason that Hyde comes out as well. And that's the turning point where she steals whatever it is that she's there to steal.
Yeah.
Like you have her steal the dagger from them.
So you then have it in a three-way chase towards the end. You have the mummy trying to go after the chosen.
Yeah.
And then the chosen trying to escape.
And then them having to chase her before she gets the dagger and thing. And then what you can do is introduce a plot point where the dagger, instead of just it has to kill the chosen, is like it can be passed on to someone else. So the reason that if it goes into the chosen becomes the form of Set and has no choice.
Yeah.
If it goes into someone else, because they have free will and they choose to do it.
Yeah.
That's why Tom Cruise then takes it at the end instead of Jake Johnson. So the curse is broken on him, but Tom Cruise becomes immortal.
Explaining the free will would probably be a big thing. Yeah, that would help that ending a whole chunk.
I also think they should have spun Armanet into not being a bad guy. So you read the spiel at the beginning of it, so you get told the story of her.
Yeah.
But you miss out chunks.
Yeah.
Which is obviously like you have the, maybe you have the realization, the real truth being that the baby boy was born because her father made a deal with one of the other gods to have a son. And then she didn't cut a deal with Set. She thought she cut a deal with another god,
but she
and became possessed
and
became thing. So that whenever he takes the dagger at the end of it, she becomes released from her thing and is just...
Yeah.
She whatever was, she you know
yeah she would she be got so caught
you,
up.
Just the lost in translation kind of thing of like you believe she's the bagger because she's the mummy and she, you know, sucking the life out of people to thing, and it's like but the means to an end because I have to stop.
Yeah,
it's like whoever uses that thing is going to bring about the end of the world, and I have to stop them, and you people keep getting in the way.
Yeah,
and I feel like that would just be like taking the mummy thing and twisting it on its head of going, well, the mummy is typically, it's a monster movie, so these creatures are obviously the bad guys most of the time. Like, make the monster the good guy.
Like, she's not...
But you think it's the bad guy. And then you turn Jenny on her head from going, oh, she's just the sidekicky person that's there, to, oh, no, she's actually, you know, manipulated all of you and played you. And, you know, she leaves Tom Cruise in a room with, you know, Hyde.
Her great 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 grandmother was the woman who gave birth to, you know,
some
minute bloodline. Or just,
you know, her family have been following this thing. Like, it is like a religious like, worship. Is it still worship the gods of old or something? I mean, we're in a world where we're talking about Dracula being in it and the Wolfman and things like that. That doesn't seem like it will be a stretch for these guys to pull off.
So I think one of the big things as well I wanted to change was the way they did Jekyll and Hyde and that kind of establishment. they, for me, they spelt it out too much straight away off the bat. So you meet Russell Crowe pretty much straight away. He's already trying to inject himself. Now he has to take this injection, we presume, to stop becoming Hyde all the time. So I mean, that's within straight away meeting him, and then later on we see him trying to do the injection again, and he does this thing where he's like, "Oh, where is it? I can't find it." And he's like, "Well, you've just shown me in the space of what seems like film time, about 2 hours, 2-3 hours maybe. You've had to stab yourself. So how do you forget where this thing is if you have to do it so many times?"
Well, I wonder if that was kind of one of those things that was an acting choice a little bit, or was written in there some point where he'd be forgetful about where it was, because that was the more the Hyde got close, he would like play with his brain of like, "I'm gonna not help you, like stop me coming out." I did feel like Jekyll and Hyde kind of, maybe it was so on the nose, because do you think it's maybe just for younger audiences?
Well,
because we come from an era where we had the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was like the big influence we had of like Jekyll and Hyde. And there's been a few, like there was that Hyde TV show that was on the BBC, but that was like a decade ago, 20 years ago.
I definitely remember old school stuff there. I think with that, because one of the expectations as well, I mean, honestly, going into the film, I had no idea that he was Jekyll and Hyde.
See, that was ruined in one of the trailers for me.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch that. I must have missed that trailer.
It's mainly because they didn't do the Hyde part. He goes, "My name is Henry Jekyll." And I was like, oh, great. That's that ruined.
But I mean, that's exactly my point. That's how I think they were too on the nose with it. So I think what I would have done with the change in that is they pretty much spell out straight away that he's injected himself to make something stop. And when everything kicks off, so Tom Cruise's character finds out what the establishment's plan is, and effectively is to sacrifice Tom Cruise for the greater good. He gets really upset and is trying to find out, oh, what's going on. Coincidentally, at the same time, this is when Russell Crowe's character needs to take his injection. So whilst the argument is going on, Tom Cruise's character sees that as a nice bargaining chip. He's like, "Fine, I'm going to yoink the injector, and you have to answer me, and I will give her it back." Now, the trouble is that puts Jekyll in Hyde in a point where it then gets to a point of no return and the transformation begins. So I thought, personally, I would have kind of taken away all the inclination of what he actually was until that point happens. And the great bit I would have done to reveal it is there's this bit where earlier on you see...
Is it the hand pad?
It's the hand pad.
Okay, that's where I would have done it too.
Yeah, so earlier on you would have seen... Hyde puts his palm print up and you see the computer screen say the name and the door opens. And then when they're fighting and he's turned into Jekyll... Sorry, I'm getting the names the wrong way around, so I'll try and remember. When he turned into Jekyll...
He turns into Hyde.
Tom's character knows, okay, cool, I've got to use the handprint to get out of this room. But obviously the handprint doesn't recognise it because he's transformed. I think one of the other issues with that as well is the transformation physically... isn't that different.
No, he just kind of has like slightly greasier hair and glowy looking eyes.
Which goes back to the original book. Like the actual Jekyll, I think, in the book was always described as a smaller version of Hyde. It was only really in like our generations where it was this big Hulk-like monster.
I mean, I feel like that was the thing, because really like the modern day equivalent of Jekyll and Hyde is the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Which is the scientist who turns into a beast, which is literally just a remake of that premise. So then you goes, oh, whenever he changes, he has to become a...
And that's when I would have told the audience who his character is. Because all the time throughout, like, the beginning of the film, he's only ever called Henry. He's the head of this big, mysterious organization.
Would it have been more interesting as well to, like, if you'd had, like, some establisher at the beginning instead of, like... Or if you had Jenny working for Hyde rather than Henry.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
So at one point he's unaware of how much he keeps changing. So if you had to set up, if his face changed more,
and
his look changed more, if at the beginning you set up whenever they have like the tablet or the thing that tells the history of Armanet or whatever, but the person telling you that is Hyde.
Yes, yeah,
and then
that's
the thing
good.
Is like, you know, like, oh, you know, this was the plan all along, like, just...
So he doesn't know, I mean, that's obviously, because again, they bring the dagger, the mummy, and the gem all
like,
into the
like
same place.
You do the thing that they did with Tom Cruise's thing of him having to go back to the... They did the one thing of, like, him being drawn to the thing, is like, Hyde is like, no, I pull more strings in there than, you know, he's willing to admit.
So Jenny being a double agent for Hyde would have been absolutely fantastic. I think, as I say, trying to keep that reveal, because that would have been great with all the chaos going on as an audience member, then also learning who that is as a character. Setting him up as well. I mean, once he transforms into Hyde, he gives this great speech of like, we're all gods, you can't stop us, we may as well be chaos, blah, blah, blah. The downside is that all they did for Hyde in this was a light bit of makeup and Crow putting on the most Dick Van Dyke Cockney accent you could obviously...
Crikey, put. Governor, I'm a monster, right?
It's like, you know, he's called... Tom Cruise's characters get called Nick by Jekyll, and then he's Nicholas. All right, me and you, Nicholas, we could rule this world.
It was a weird... I mean, it's that thing of... I feel the sad part of this... For me, I feel a lot because obviously the makeup on Sophia is great, as
phenomenal.
The tattoo kind of stuff and the kind of
the real and the CGI. Look. Yeah,
I mean, I give that, but the part that makes me the most sad about this film is that for years, like monster movies, like the old 1930s, The Mummy, you know, Frankenstein, all these like the Boris Karloffs, all these kind of things,
yeah,
was all about monster makeup,
yes,
and like practical guys in prosthetics and stuff, and it was like. But there was nearly none of that. I'm like, you know, like I say, Jake Johnson, I feel like they shot with him looking normal. And then they did a test screening with like the producer and they're like, wait, is he fine? Or
is
what's,
he dead?
What's up with him? And he's like, well, is it not obvious that he's like been possessed and then he's back from... Or should we make it more obvious? Because it feels like they did like the digital white eye and like the digital paling of his skin to grey it out and like digital scarring and stuff. Like everything was added in post because they didn't do it on the...
Well, especially with like his wardrobe as well. Like he's just wearing t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, it just kind of looked like
for guys, the undead who was shot three times.
Yeah, it just kind of felt like you guys missed the mark of like doing something practical because you just shot and just fixed everything apart. And I assume the same with Russell Crowe. I was like, so you guys know what I'm going to look like when I'm high? And he's like, just play it out and we'll figure it out afterwards.
So I would have played a little bit more secrecy on Hyde. And then, that idea of Hyde actually being in more control would play in very well with Jenny being a double agent. Then I'd still have the kind of escape thing go on at the same way.
Yeah, I'd still have her escaping at the same time.
Yeah.
As a...
And fairly same way, like, you know, she controls someone by mind. They effectively take an axe to a fuse box and that confuses everybody.
Yeah, so you've got that going on whilst he does his... You know,
it's all the confusion of the moment. So you've got Hyde also trying to, because he so obviously with Tom Cruise's fight, with Nick's fight, he ends up knocking him for six and then just stabs him with the injector, right?
Yeah, I feel like maybe that's the point where you could go, okay, we stab him with the thing, and then you tell Nick, oh God, I now know what his plan was.
Yeah,
the red gem thing is here.
Yeah.
And what I would do is, instead of having it in the underground catacombs with the nicer thing, just set it in the British Museum.
Yeah,
There's an ancient Egyptian exhibit in the British Museum. Like, I feel like the only reason they didn't do that is because it was in The Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
Is they have the whole thing where the mummies in the cases come to life, which is such a great scene, and it's been so long that none of us will care if you do it well.
Well, there's that great couple of lines, isn't there, they're saying about the scholars in the 1999 version. You could obviously just set that up, that this is where that all is.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's no reason to not include the previous Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz.
With a couple of lines, you could rewrite it.
Basically, you just rename the Egyptian wing, like the O'Connell wing, or something like that, as one reference. Like, there's so many little... You've already put the book in there. Why not just make it canon? Because it's set in... Like, the first one, I think, is set in, like, 1923 or something, and the second one is set in, like, 1932 or 33. And it's like, it's been so long that you can have those be canon. And if anything, that would help you.
Yeah.
Because people love those films.
So going towards the end, you've got... Obviously,
the third one.
So obviously we said about the Crusaders as well, and you mentioned it earlier on. One of the dumbest things that, that happens just purely because that's the way it's written in the plot is she mummifies the Crusaders. She's in effectively an underground catacomb, uses that to take out the rest of the establishments. I mean, the establishment, I keep calling it that. I don't know if it actually has like a name, like a company name or... We'll just call it the
Per Diem or something like that. Yeah, or like I can't remember. It's some stupid pro word.
Yeah. But she takes out the rest of the workers using the mummies. Then after a completely unnecessarily underground bit, underwater
bit.
And again, that goes back to I feel like it was like, oh, and then we did this, and then this, because like the way it plays out is like, oh, they're on the tube tracks, and then they escape the tube, but was they didn't notice there was a mummy right next to it, and then the mummy breaks through a wall, and then they're in the wall, and then Sophia's mummy's there, and it's like it was just so like one after the other after the other after the other, and it's like it felt like it was just like some kid really hyper explaining, like just had a shit ton of sugar and went, right, so tell us about your summer camp.
I mean the end of the film is, I feel like the end that you kind of need to do is, I think on the spin of what we kind of got like from this moment is, obviously if we had her shift from being the bad guy to the good guy,
yep,
and obviously Jenny shift to being the bad guy, if we have Jake still alive the whole time and Tom,
yep,
doing their little like buddy cop,
yep,
lethal weapon, like,
so Jenny's now got the stone.
So we, she's so got we'll the say sword. Jenny's got. We'll say the whole thing is that Jenny gets the dagger
and she needs
from the thing, and needs the stone. So, yeah. So then she finds out where the stone is. So once she's got the dagger from thing,
and her plan is to stab herself to give her all the powers.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll okay. do that if you have free. We'll establish the thing of, oh, you know, if someone chooses to
yep.
to do it, then they can be, you know, taken over and set will rise again or something. You know,
yep.
just have her be more of a cultist rather than anything like yep. that. You know, so you have that spin of thing, but then you have the, you know, the whole like, oh, the pure of heart person takes or whatever,
yeah,
and you know, like you know, you have like Jake Johnson be like, oh, you know, I just stab me with it, and I have the whole like, you know, like almost like the Scream thing of like him,
yeah,
you know, the knife, what I was like, I can't do it, and then Tom Cruise just decides to stab himself.
Yeah,
what you then do, I think, is you could establish either make Tom Cruise, you either have the thing where you make Tom Cruise be set as a thing,
mm-hmm.
or you have the thing where you have Jenny become set, which is the thing of, if you have Jenny become set, mm-hmm. then you have the curse broken on Armanette. But then if you still had Armanette has all her powers still,
yep.
you can have a fight between the two of them.
Yes.
As a mummy
versus mummy.
A mummy versus kind of God.
Yep.
God versus the, you know, woman who would be God.
Yep.
Fight. Or you just have Tom Cruise take it, and then he just becomes set. And it's like, you know, you have power over life and death or whatever. Obviously, Jake's curse is broken, and then he can kill Jenny or whatever. And then you have him have to team up with Armanette,
mm-hmm.
because she's like, I can teach you how to
control
not
it.
Be.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I suppose, obviously, if you have Jenny and Armanette fighting, and Armanette seems like she's losing, you know, by then the dagger's been dropped.
Or you just have, like, some power imbued from holding, like, the gem or something that she's able to, like, fight.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's the thing. Like, there's no one that's a threat to Armanette.
She's pretty, I mean, like we said in the thing, she's pretty all-powerful. She can control people, she can control animals, glass. I mean, it's the same with the mummy in the Frasier Chronicles.
Well, like, I feel like the thing is, they give him a lot of powers, but then they give him weaknesses like cats. Like,
yes.
until he's fully formed, he's terrified of cats.
But there's no weaknesses.
Because the gods of the
one.
Underworld. And, you know, it's like, it's a cheap trick.
Yeah.
Because the cat ain't going to do anything
yeah.
to him. But he thinks, because of superstition of ancient Egypt, that cat can
yeah.
kill him.
But in this one, Armanette doesn't seem to have any known weaknesses.
And then the
apart
end
from
of.
Harpoons to chests.
I mean, that's the thing. The end of the. Planes
the
everywhere.
Plane.
Because the end of the 1999 one, they make him mortal.
Yes.
Which is the, you know, the
during
thing,
the procedure,
and then he
yeah.
stabs him with the sword. So it's like, okay, well, you know, you kind of got that as a plot device. It's like, oh yeah, you can, we'll just make him mortal. That'll, you know.
So what would be the ultimate ending then, we think? So if we've got, so Jenny's a well, double agent.
I mean, we know this is from
she's
the,
working
this
for
is
hype.
From the studio perspective. They want to set up this universe of thing.
Yeah.
So the thing you want
to
do
Cruise
is
still
you
needs to be...
need to have Tom Cruise, and you need to have Armanette in some way in it, because
yep.
both of them are going to be back for your potential future franchises.
Yeah.
So it's either what they did in this one here is Tom Cruise survives and Armanette goes back in Mercury until obviously they're going to need to bring her back out
yeah.
somehow for some reason in the sequel or, you know, whatever this ends up being, if there is more. So I feel like you kind of just need, you need them to still be around in some capacity.
Yeah.
As a thing.
Yeah.
And you need the so, thing. I mean, what if you had it that Jenny somehow gets possessed, but what he does is whenever he takes the powers of Set, he takes her curse and puts it on Jenny. So then Jenny
yeah.
gets all
yep.
kind of tattooed up. And then they put Jenny in the Mercury bath.
Yes.
And Cruise to you know, keep her
yeah.
in the sarcophagus.
Again, I mean, like, I mean, I you know, I just wanted more out of that character than more than just to scream Nick every 2 seconds, which is confusing when your name's Nick and you're watching that kind of film. Yeah, so you'd have her... Basically, she could be starting the ritual, have some basic of the powers. The fight between her and Sophia's mummy takes place, and basically she needs to team up with Tom Cruise to...
Yeah, so what if the basis of the powers is whenever you do the first kind of incantation thing to like summon the power of Set or whatever?
That gets you the thing. That gets you
your tattoos and all you know, your possessed kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then if you end it with Tom Cruise choosing to stab himself and take the power, obviously you have two people that have the powers of the mummy, essentially. But then he just goes, okay, well, no, her curse is broken on her because, you know, like she was tricked into this thing, but they still need a mummy to get their sarcophagus still needs, you know,
a mummy thing. Definitely.
So it's like, you know, your Jekyll gets to steal away a monster.
Yep.
In a thing still.
Yep.
And we don't have to kill Jenny, because if we want to bring that back and make the mummy a bad guy. But then what you do is you have the trio in the desert.
Yeah.
Of here's Jake.
Yeah.
Who's now not possessed. And here's Tom Cruise, who's now Set. And here's, you know,
Aminette,
who's now make her mortal or something.
And she'll know. And it's
like, she's now like, I don't know anything about this world other than, you know, I just know the worlds of old. So obviously she is kind of the go-between of like, well, you now have the power of like the gods of my time.
Yep.
But, you know, I can teach you the...
Yeah, and she, I mean, also from them, you know, whether they go and do the whole treasure hunting thing or whether they go and find... Like, they ride off towards a temple, which we saw right at the beginning, so you only presume they're off to find some more. Like, she'll know all that stuff.
Or what you do is you set up, instead of them being in the desert, they're in Transylvania. There's like, I hear there's some big riches in an old castle around here. Yeah. And then just... Sorry, that's terrible. Don't do that.
Transylvania with a lake.
just a lightning.
You could almost call it a lagoon at the bottom of the car. So yeah, I think that's how I would change it. I would make Jenny a much more interesting character. I would have changed the way they revealed Hyde and Jekyll.
Yeah. And just hidden it longer.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, they very much spell it out to you.
Yeah, just, if they
seconds.
Just did it with the hand pad, that would have been fine. So you got. Yeah,
and then the
I
double agent thing would be great.
I think double agent would just add another. Because I feel like the biggest thing whenever you're kind of like taking one of these franchises to reboot it is going, what is that thing you can turn on its head? And like for me, the big thing to turn its head is take the mummy, start it off as the bad guy, and then turn her into the good guy because you're just misinterpreting what her actions are.
Like her actions are bad, but. As you say, great or good.
Yeah,
it means
like
the
means. Like I have you people keep getting in the way as I try and stop the entire the needs of the many like type situation. I feel like that's maybe the more interesting role of that. Definitely, I feel like the whole film should have been like a buddy cop thing with Jake and Tom.
Yes,
because that first scene of them, they bounce off each other so well, and I would have loved a whole film of just that kind of comic relief. Between the two of them.
I think that opening sequence with them has some of the best filmmaking in it, which is that great line of goes, Tom Cruise is trying to convince, when they cut to the thing, they literally slide into shot under gunfire. And it's just, it was just
we'll
a
just
great
slide in nice and quiet, like,
I mean, as I said, this film, overall, there's some great bits in it that could develop into something phenomenal.
See, the thing is, I came out of it a lot, like some of the people we saw it with really didn't like it as a thing, and I came out of it, I was like, I didn't dislike it, I didn't like it, let's put it that way, but I liked things in it.
There's
like I came out of it going, this could have been really cool, like there were some really interesting ideas in this, just none of them were as executed as well as I feel like anybody wanted. I can't tell if why that isn't, I mean, that's down to whoever you know, decisions and, you know, trees and stuff, and obviously they're trying to build this dark universe, and again, I would enjoy seeing more of this, you know, these characters now as a thing. I feel like now we've got Jake Johnson back, there's the potential now for the sequel to have that buddy you know, ism in it, but obviously now we've got Tom Cruise can control life and death, so really there's no threat to anything.
He's a bit all-powerful.
It's basically, you know, just Khan, magic blood. So yeah, like, it's I'm not sure where they'll go with these things here, but then that's not for us to do, because all we're doing is taking a film that we just saw and saying what we do change. Different, rather than where you go next. So yes. Then they need to make the next one, and then we'll tell them where we would have gone.
Yeah, we can tell them how correct we were.
Yeah.
Effectively, let us know what you think, guys. Whether you think we had any good ideas, or you know, whether you like the format of this podcast. I mean, it's just going to be us rambling for an hour.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably get them to like tweet us or something.
Yeah, yeah. Give us your opinions. Send us Twitter's probably easiest.
Yeah, yeah, I think Twitter is probably going to be. We're going to post this up on Facebook, so
yeah,
like a link to this, so people can comment on Facebook. I feel Facebook. Like Twitter. If you have any like thoughts or things, you can just shoot them over. Like we would. Love to hear like things.
I mean, we probably should have said at the beginning, but obviously, any new listeners,
new listeners to the first episode.
The first episode. Well, I mean, like people who don't know who we are. So, I mean, like,
yes. Yes, we are. Yes, I'm Gary.
I'm Nick.
We run a YouTube channel called Sneaky Zebra. It's a YouTube channel, YouTube, Facebook, everything.
We make videos.
Yeah, and outside of that, I work as an editor, so I've worked on various television shows. So. I at least come with some credentials.
I just criticize stuff that I can't do. I think next week we're going to try and talk about doing Looper, I think, because we've talked about Looper many times before. Looper, one we've definitely got some ammunition
Looper
for.
Is definitely on my list, as is Star Trek Into Darkness, because I have rewritten that film too many times.
Well, so here's the thing, we don't want to do that too soon, because Alex Kurtzman...
I really, it will seem like I'm taking a real attack at him for this.
Nothing personal.
He did write Star Trek 2009, which is in my like top five films of all time, yeah. So he does have that going for him.
You say this as the Star Trek Beyond poster is right behind you as well.
He didn't write Star Trek
Beyond. I know, but
he's doing Discovery, and I'm looking forward to Discovery because I thought that trailer was awesome. But yeah,
this... cool.
Okay, so this may have been a slightly longer winded episode. I'm sure these will get finessed out as we make more of them, but we would love to hear what you guys think just about the episode, about the movie. You know, if you guys have any thoughts, any of your own opinions of what you would change or what you wouldn't change, if you agreed or disagreed with us on stuff, please contact us on social media. Tweet us at @_sneakyzebra on Twitter. You can use the hashtag doover, DOOVER, and we will be sure to check it out and get a convo going with you guys, because we would love to hear what you think. Also, if you have any films you want to suggest that we should take a look at and maybe do here on the show, please tweet those at us too. We have some ideas, but we would love to hear what you guys think are films that deserve a second chance. Also, if you want to check out more of our stuff, you can at youtube.com/sneakyzebra. If you know our stuff already, you've probably already watched it, but there's some cool stuff on there. There's some cosplay music videos, some shorts like Prop Wars, Prop Harder, which I think if you haven't seen, you will probably really enjoy if you like movie stuff. And obviously, we are doing this at my desk. You may have heard some planes flying over because we don't have a decent venue to record this at yet. But if anybody likes our stuff, you check out the YouTube channel and you want to support us in some way, you can become a patron at Patreon. We do have a patron. It is patreon.com/sneakyzebra. You can check it out. We are not forcing anyone to do anything, obviously. It's just every penny, dime, cent does help just make stuff. We're working from one microphone at the moment, and yeah. But that's up to you guys. Just if you have any thoughts, anything, you can reach us on Twitter. If you want to message us on Facebook, because 140 characters is just too short, you can find us on facebook.com/thesneakyzebra. We would love to hear what you guys think. We would love to get a conversation going. We might even be able to talk about like any really cool theories or ideas on a future episode. So yeah, thank you guys for listening once again. Thank you to our sponsors, Gamebox and Loot Crate. Be sure to check them out, and until next time, stay sneaky. Oh, and if you didn't like the podcast, you can record one where you take our podcast and do over the pod. Don't do that. It's too complicated. Thanks, guys.